Blog Talk Radio. very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes. But very wise, so wise was he.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
in here, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah And I want us lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven, ring with the harmony. Oh, let us sing, let us rejoice and rise high. Burning the loud as the Lord's sea.
Underground Radio Network, and we're now about to bring you a coffee. Good morning, this is Jimmy Lee, Underground Radio Network, and we're now about to bring you a coffee, tea, and a conversation with Dorothy Tillman.
Thank you. that's my brother right there. Sounds for me.
Those former aldermen who worked with Mayor Washington, all of David Orr, Tim Evans, Chewy, all of us as former members who worked with Harold Washington, aldermen. You also had a lot of his cabinet members there. Justin Minor, the corporation council member, was there. And I'm not going to be able to name all of them, which y'all kill me if I don't. Jim Montgomery, who was the first African American, Corporation Council for the City of Chicago, was there. Jackie Grimshaw was there. Everybody was there. Peggy Montez, Jay Ramsey, who was with Harold. Madeline Rabs was there. Everybody, anybody who could get there, was there. And of course, you Harold people were there. I thought it was an excellent program. I'm so sorry that when you get a chance. You know, Marsha didn't get a chance. Everybody needs to know Marsha was outside and waiting to come on. But I think we got a little mix-up because Cliff called the benediction. And when the benediction came, people began to leave after the benediction. And the benediction was there before. Benediction was called before Marsha. Marsha was supposed to be the closing act. So those who came to see Marsha know that he was there. And the benediction was called. It shouldn't have been called before Marsha. But when they said amen, and then Joseph was going to get Marsha's thing after the benediction, people were getting up and they were leaving. So we need to just know that, too. So it really was just a great time that we had there, just a wonderful time. And if I'm forgetting anybody, Maggie was there, let me know. Of course, Jimelita Tillman. My daughter, who's the executive director of the Harold Washington Cultural Center, presented a very excellent rendition of different things of that goes on at the Cultural Center, which was a surprise to some people because they didn't know exactly all the things. And I must say that about 70% of those people that was there, said they had never been there before. Slim Coleman was there also. And they said they had not been to the Harold Washington Cultural Center, which was amazing. But we were glad to have them. And sometimes, it was the first time some of them saw pictures of, saw the statue. And they were taking pictures among us. It was just a festive time for us to look back to move forward, really, to understand. We're going to be talking about those things this morning. We will certainly be talking. Anything else that you want to talk about that's going on in the city, around the country, we need to talk about. And we need to talk about what is independent politics. We're going to talk about that as we talk about Harold today. Progressive politics, independent politics, how did Harold really get elected? Because I think people got it backwards. They think that Harold Washington formulated a coalition, and I tell everybody, Harold didn't formulate no coalition. We put Harold in the middle of a coalition. And we'll talk about that as we talk about how do we elect people across this country that's going to represent our needs. And understand that this show, Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Tillman, is really about lifting our people up and not bringing our people down because imagery is everything. If you tell a child every morning he's not going to be nothing, he'll grow up thinking he's not going to be nothing. And if our community wake up every day saying we are nothing, we can't do this, we can't do that, then we won't do this. I was driving down. It struck me. I started really paying attention. I was coming on King Drive. And I looked at all of the I think I started looking at Garfield, all of the bus shelters, and all of the ads on the bus shelter. All of them was white. Now, you got to remember, these black kids standing in front of the shelter, in front of the bus shelter waiting to catch a bus, and there are no imagery of black people. There are no positive imageries of us. And then they hear every day, oh, you ain't nothing, you're selling dope, you're out of wedlock, you this and that. Then they think that. I also was looking at where they showed a little Uno on Channel 11. This Latina's class, Hispanic class, with Hispanic teachers, brand new school, brand new image. You never hear them hollering, oh, you're bringing all this dope into this country, and you're selling all this dope, and you're killing up each other, that you can't be nothing. They never say that. They move past it. They don't talk about it every day on their show. They just keep moving because they just, them, like us, know that the majority of our community are not drug dealers. The majority of our community are not gangbangers. The majority of our community is not doing all those things. So they don't reinforce that. But we got to stop reinforcing every day that we are nothing. We can't do nothing. We are this. And I'm going to bring you some data. We're not the only one who have babies out of wedlock. Oh, you ain't got no dad. I know a lot of other folks ain't got no daddies. And the way we describe families in our community is different. And we had to really describe family that comes all the way from slavery. Our discussion of family had to come from slavery because when we were brought over here and being enslaved, we had a different definition of family, an extended family. We did not have the same definition of family as the European, and they have tried to put that on us. So it's like if you reinforce constantly and you take a group of children and you put them in a school system that sets them up for failure, where they will not be able to use their minds and their goods and reinforce, so they too now can be those children who are creating and developing. How you take people who've invented and created things for this whole country to survive on to all of a sudden to be mindless? I'm wrong with that. You know, so that was a setup, and we'll talk about that too. We're going to talk about how we're going to take back your community. We got to take back the minds of our children, not only our children, our grown-ups. Those who are supposed to know so much, if you know so much, why you keep putting this negative imagery into black children and black people? How do we take back the minds? How do we take back our community? Election is coming up. You know, how do you make people? I mean, I'm not telling you not to vote, but you vote for people who don't care about you no more. They said there's apathy in the black community. Oh, no. Everybody got elected because of the black votes. Most folks voted just as low or lower than us. We just voted for people that was not in our interest. There's no apathy. What it is the loss of hope in the system. And the reason we have a loss of hope in our electoral system is because blacks come out, vote, with pride, ready for change, and they put people in office who step on them. The white politicians step on them, and the black politicians step on them. So those are the things we're going to talk about. The Harold Washington, because Harold Washington talked about economics, education, and all that, and some of the things I talk about. And I want you to also, wherever you are in this country, and I want you to chime into this. We have economic violence and political violence, verbal violence in our community. So it's not just the black-on-black crime. It's the economic crime. So let's talk about all of that. It's kind of open today for you. Feeling good. We're going to talk about it. You listen to the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on blackplanet.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter. And guess what, y'all? We're on iHeartRadio. We are on iHeart. You can listen to me. Hey, y'all, we're going to talk this morning. And after we get through talking about what you felt, what we're going to do. Kudos to Mr. Garden over there on Menard. We need to talk about how do you do boycotts. We certainly support them. What will you do? So let's talk. Imagery is everything. Imagery is everything. Imagery of the black man. Imagery of the black children. We got to take it back, y'all. And when they talked about the money they're taking from the state from Uno, what about the TIF money that the city have given Uno and all of them? Hey, let us build our schools too. You know, and don't make it so hard. So we're going to talk about education, educational crime, economic crime, political crime. And then we're going to talk about, let's lift it up, y'all. Don't go nowhere. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. Wake up, everybody. Tell them to get up. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
This is a paid announcement.
Boycott Menards, 91st and Western Avenue.
Hi, I'm Ed Gardner, founder of Soft Sheen Products. I spent my entire life trying to uplift people. particularly black people. I want people who live in my community to have jobs, to have contracts, and every opportunity. Menards, the giant store, refused to meet with me and members of our community to discuss construction jobs and contracts. Menards has disrespected the black community. As a citizen of the United States of America, I call upon other citizens to join me to voluntarily and nonviolently boycott Menards. If we can't build it, we will not shop it.
Boycott Menards, 91st and Western Avenue. Shop where you are respected.
And now we have an 8-year-old on the line. Welcome to Our World Today. What's your question?
Our continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that 71% is comprised of water. Man automatically adapts to environmental conditions. So why do I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Come on. Come on.
Laptops, MP3 players, cameras, video games, cell phones. In times like these, schools can become a shopping mall for thieves. Don't become a victim of crime. Leave your valuable stuff at home. And if you do have to bring them to school, keep them with you. Write down their serial numbers and don't flash expensive items around. Be smart. If you have something cool, there's a good chance someone else will want it too. Keep cash and ATM cards in a secure place and never give anyone your PIN number. And don't leave your school bag lying around where it can become a temptation to someone else. If you have something stolen, report the situation immediately. The sooner you tell someone, the better the chance you'll get it back. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how to prevent school theft. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
I want to change some things.
I want the moms where I live to have childcare they can trust.
I want to make sure my little brother and his friends have a safe place to play.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more hardworking families learn how to budget and save.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
Want to make a difference? There are so many ways you can. Help create opportunities for everyone in your community.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I mean, I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Some teens have trouble just making it to graduation.
Like, my brother, I was raising him. I was taking care of him when I was 3-4 years old. There was no possible way for me to come home, watch the kids, give them a bath, then cook dinner for everybody and clean and still get my homework done. So I'd probably stay with you because there's so many kids that you have to grow up
at a young age.
Because, I mean, if there's nobody there to do it, you got to do it.
Like she said, you can walk down the hallway and see me. I just have a smile on my face. But on the inside, I'm, like, really, really crying. I'm hurting because, like, wow. How can I manage to do all this at such a young age? So it's a mind thing. You have to have your mindset that, hey, if this is what you want to do, go for it. Find some more support and do what you have to do.
Hopefully, I'll be able to study and be able to get my stuff done, but just not knowing what's going to happen in the future, that's what scares me, that I'm hoping that I'll be able to maintain my grades and stay in school.
Give your friends the boost they need to graduate. Go to boostup.org and send a message in your own words. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I was facing foreclosure. I was desperate to get help wherever I could.
They promised they would help me. It seemed legitimate.
I paid them a fee and never heard from them again.
I lost thousands of dollars and my home.
Every day, loan modification scammers target homeowners who are worried about foreclosure. Anyone can be a victim, but you don't have to be. Avoid any person or company who asks for a fee in advance, who guarantees they can stop a foreclosure or modify a loan, or who tells you to stop paying your mortgage company. For trusted, government-approved help and to report a scam, Call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. You can also visit www.loanscamalert.org.
Information is your best defense.
Know the signs. Get the facts.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Tonight, the Herald said it last night on y'all. Herald was talking mucho junk, out of sight, black and unproud. To be black do not mean you hate anybody else. I tell you, I'm having a good time. I want to talk to y'all about Herald. I want to talk to you about the image. I want to talk to you about why folks talking about violence. They kill up somebody tomorrow. We need to start reporting on the political violence and the economic violence and the educational violence, all of the mental violence and all the things that's going on throughout the city in this country to black people. I mean, really, like, we have gone, if you think about the imagery of how they used to show us and what they've done to us, and violence have always happened. But this is the first, no, that's how the master set it up. You never hear anybody else, and somebody was talking on one show about the Italians and all the other day, but you never hear, I mean, the drugs brought in here, they're coming from Mexico, and the Mexicans are controlling all of the drugs in our community. And I think two other places they come in from. But you never hear those communities talking about, oh, you're no good for bringing all that bad drugs up in there. And you're no good for, and they be shooting up and killing each other. They don't say, they keep moving in their building community. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to the phone. It's because currency in country. I told you once before. All of these people, that's why the president is in Mexico now. Because Mexico have currency. The Mexicans have currency. They have country. Anybody come to this country have currency in country to relate to but the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. The only currency we have is the American currency. The only country we have is America. I'm talking about the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Our continent is Africa, but the country is America. When you have people come from other Americas, whether it's from the islands, whatever parts of the Americas they come from, they have a country. They have Brazil. They have Jamaica. They have Haiti. They have wherever they come from. They have those countries, and they have those currency. And even though they, too, was enslaved, they still had. And we, too, in this country, we've made a culture in this country. Make no doubt about it, just like the other Americans where they made culture. We made culture, too, and our culture has been denied us. We've ran from it. The music, the blues, that's why I'm going to put a blues rammer one day at the theater. And bring all the local folks. Our music, that was taken away. Our food, you'll go sit up in Chinatown and eat a greasy rice with the lard fried, and you'll say you can't go to a black restaurant because it got too much grease in it. You'll go eat a lot of pasta, and you say you can't go eat biscuits. I mean, so all of our restaurants, everything, we made food. And you have to adjust based off the health, because I don't eat a lot of stuff, too. But I make my rounds to the black restaurants. You know, so we just kind of moved our culture, our everything, our music, all the things we did. It was worse. We was worse off with S.B. Fuller. Did Fuller Brush and began to build a Fuller company, all the stuff he did. When Madam C.J. Walker did what she did, Ida B. Wells. I mean, we was under the gun with all of it, but our people stood tall because they had money with a purpose. Madam C.J. Walker built a whole economic army of black people with her money. Fuller did it too. Anybody who had money did something. Joe Louis Milk. But now people think they got their money to take outside of us and don't understand. I think it's economic. It's an economic violence that those who have money in our community do not understand how to put back. So don't let them off the hook. And then now you listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, group Facebook, blackplanetblack.com. And all of you who listen to me on iHeartRadio. We're also on Blog Talk. And you look to Jimmy Lee Underground. But it's Blog Talk Radio if you want to listen back. Or you can search Dorothy Tillman Coffee Tea with me, and you can listen back to this show. Now, I'm going to go to the phone. I had a good time, real good time. Another thing, you're going to start talking about Harold, but I want people to stop talking about Harold Washington built a coalition. Harold Washington did not build a coalition. We brought Harold Washington into a coalition. We built a coalition. Selim Coleman, Helen, and all of them, along with us. Rudy Lozano on the Latina side. Then you had your progressive over in Hyde Park and the Lakefront Liberals, along with a lot of black folks on that lakefront. Ishmael, he's gone now. Ishmael Flora, he was a communist, his little group. Over the years, they have been supporting a black mayor. They supported Dick Neuhaus when he ran, and they supported Harold when Harold ran. Harold never won until the people in the black community, the masses, rose up and decided they wanted a change. And we put together a coalition with the schools, because we had done Mollis and all the other stuff. But then we had Slim and Helen, and we had people like Rudy Lozano. And we coalesced on equal footing. So we put together that coalition, and we brought Harold into the coalition. I don't hear anybody else saying Harold had a coalition. Harold did not create a coalition. We brought Harold into that winning coalition. Just want to set the record straight. I tell you. Minister Plump, it was good to see you at the Harold Washington 30th year anniversary celebration.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Black.
All the time?
Black.
All the time.
Yes, ma'am. We still fighting for freedom, justice, equality, and economics, as you have said. And we thank you. It's still on the forefront of a reflection of nobody but Harold. And Harold's people is back.
They were up in there. And we want to thank VON for broadcasting and giving Harold people an opportunity to come to that show for $20 of 2 for 30. It was VON who packed the house for Harold people because the price was one something in 30. But VON say, come on in, put this code in. And thank you, Melody Span Cooper, for offering the VON people an opportunity to get there.
Right. We thank WVON as well as all of Harold's people for being on the scene. I remember Mel Washington used to say we must plump the whole community, and I just want to remind you that we still got jobs for everybody and all Harold's people that really want to go forward forever and backwards, never promoting.
Give us the address for the guy. My board is lit up now, Minister Plump. I'm going to try to clear half of it before I go on break. What is it supposed to be at?
312-671-2773 or the Harold Washington Foundation, 235 East 58th Street every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30. And
set up again, Evan, to make sure you take that information. Where about now? Get the address again.
I can be reached at 312-671-2773 or the HaroldWashingtonFoundation.com, 235 East 58th Street Sunday.
And we got to get ready now to get the students to take them over to Lear Reef to honor Mayor Washington in November. Thank you, Minister Plump.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be there. Thank you so much.
God bless
your heart.
God bless you, too. Maurice, how you doing?
Good morning, beautiful black woman.
Thank you, beautiful black man.
I just called to say stay on the case, because with God's help, we're going to win this race.
Got to.
We might be 400 years behind, but nothing stronger in the world than a made-up mind.
Well, I tell you.
Morning. Keep your faith and the money in the family. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The mind is very important. See, the mind controls what you're going to do. That's why they said walk and you feel better, because you got to tell your mind to do whatever you got to tell it. Tell it to walk, tell it to move, tell it to jump. But they keep putting all this crazy, this hopelessness in our children, in our women. You have a baby, you're nothing. What if somebody had told Mary that? I mean, it's like a whole campaign. It's a mental, economic, political, educational, every kind of campaign on black people. Ms. Huntington, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Alderman Tillman. I am fine.
Good morning.
I must say that I want to give applause Ms. Jemilita Tillman.
Thank you.
For bringing the acts that she brought on the day of Harold Washington's 30th anniversary, 50th anniversary, or whatever. 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
I must say that she has set the pattern for everyone. Now they are opening the gates. Push had last Saturday an interview of kids coming in off the street to do the same thing that she
off
is
the
doing.
Street and on the stage.
And now Joan Collazo will have it Monday and Tuesday at Apostolic Church.
On the street, off the stage.
I tell you,
off the street, on the stage.
I tell you, she did a wonderful job in her delivery of her performance of the kids and her speech.
Oh, you were there, too.
I was there. I came. That was my second time out
mm-hmm.
from my illness, and I would not have missed it, because I must bring honor to Dr. Robert Sadler and Dr. Joe, I can't think of his last name, these two district superintendents who gave the teachers the attitude and the helped us with the fundraiser that we had at the Hayes Center.
Uh-huh.
500 teachers came out in support of Harold.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that also I must say that Bemidji is on the case. We're getting all of the equipment taken care of.
Oh, thank you.
Really,
that's was it because you was Bemidji's kindergarten teacher?
Yes,
that's why you think he's on the case.
I really did enjoy seeing my children do well.
Thank you.
And I want to ask everybody in the VON family to come out and take your check to Seaway National
Bank.
Oh,
yeah, we need it.
In honor of the Harold Washington Cultural Center. This cultural center has so much history, and we cannot let it fall. Also, I must give honor to the late Dr. Estelle Falk, who was president at that time of CAPSE.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a legislative committee, Barbara Cartwright, Tim Black, and myself, who funneled and fueled the activity for our mayor,
okay.
Harold Washington, and Dr. Andrew Thomas.
There's a lot of folks played a role with electing Harold Washington. People need to understand Harold Washington's campaign was truly a people's campaign.
Yes, and you know the late Dr. Andrew Thomas.
Your brother, Andrew Thomas, yes.
Organized the Hunkies for Harold at St. Joseph Hospital.
Oh, yeah, that was your brother, Dr. Thompson. Hunkies for Harold.
Hunkies
okay.
for Harold.
Thank
the
you.
The doctors at St. Joseph Hospital.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. I tell you, that was something. A hope.
Oh, good morning. I wanted to ask you, perhaps you could tell us your opinion on why is it I have so many friends that when they come into large sums of money,
mm-hmm.
they can't wait to get their favorite contractors of a different race
uh-huh.
to do the major work on their properties. I mean, I've had one friend had a fire. She got this foreign contractor to do the majority of the work. When she didn't have a lot of money, she would use what I guess a lot of people would call, can't think of the term for it, but, you know, handyman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call the black contractor.
Mm-hmm.
She would call them her handyman.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as she came into a windfall of money, just like a lot of others, they get to these people, speak another language, and they are so happy.
Well, you know, that's what you call economics with a purpose I was talking about earlier, Hope. You know, the Harold Washington Culture Center was built by a black contractor, 2-in-1, with an 85% black subcontractors and workers. We demanded that, and that's what we got. When we were in office, we said a 70-30 plan, and I can show you a bunch of houses that we had black contractors to build. What happened to black folks? That's, you know, it's like I said, people, sometimes black folks are conveniently black, you know. And what gets to me, Hope, is that some of the black businesses holler now about black stuff. They'll holler, and they'll use black dollars. They'll use the black race to get something. Then when they get there, they think they can't find nothing good enough to be black. Then if you can't find nothing good enough, nothing black good enough to work, and what make you think somebody think you good enough? So, I mean, it's having money with a purpose, and that's part of the thing we have to work on, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. It's called economics with a purpose. We got to be like S.B. Fuller and Madam C.J. Walker and all those folks through that preceded us. John Johnson. I mean, John Johnson built Ebony, and he went downtown. He built a restaurant for all his people. He had the common people. But what most folks don't understand, John Johnson was successful and S.B. Fuller was successful because they worked together on behalf of black folks. S.B. Fuller would take John Johnson's jet and stuff and have his people throughout the country to pass them out. They worked together. They coordinated things together, and money with a purpose. Eddie. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing, Alderman Tillman?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Listen, I agree totally with what you were saying earlier about us down-talking our youth. We need to give them a positive outlook and let them know that they can do whatever they want to do in
right.
life and nobody can hold them down. But I do have, I think, a slight disagreement with you when you were talking about the family structure and how our family structure is different and kind of making it seem like to me like you were saying it was okay.
No, I wasn't. I was saying that because of the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, it was these folks who enslaved us who really messed with our structure. What if you study black history from traditional continent to here, I said our family structure was different. We weren't like the Europeans, and they didn't understand what held us together. Uncles and aunties and grandmama, we all hung together to try to help whatever. We didn't take it and put it out and say this was that. We took the little grandchild, took him to church. We had a family structure extended where we all worked together. That's what I'm talking about, that extended.
Right. I agree with that, but at the same token, the family unit
mm-hmm.
has to be a father and a mother as the anchor for that family.
I think so, but if it's not there, it does not mean that you dog your family and say you're no good. We're not the only one to have children out of wedlock. But I was talking about...
No, we're not, but we're the biggest percentage.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, but you know I'm talking about...
Let's be real.
What I need you to be real about, Ed, is take some of these young kids and young boys and stuff and become their fathers. And that's what we have to do. I mean, we can either kill them, you can talk about and kill their minds, or we can reach out and help them grow, Eddie. That's the real part. They belong to all of us. Thank you so much, Eddie, for calling. Zakiya.
Well, good morning, Alderman.
Good morning.
I would just like to commend Josie Childs and her committed workers for that job well done the other night at the Harold Washington Culture Center. I enjoyed myself.
You were going to put your butt up on the screen and you didn't even see it. You was talking to somebody.
I missed that, Tim.
I'm a surprise. That was my personal tape I played. And I chose one with you in and your butt was somewhere talking and missed yourself on the screen.
I hated that. It was just so much going on with so many different people. And I didn't remember that the Shy Life was supposed to perform until I was on my way home. I said, oh, my God.
Because Harold Washington had taken up all the space. Harold had just given us our marching orders, hadn't he?
So much enjoyment out of that until some of us, you know, I don't think it meant too much, although I did want to see them. But that's just what kind of night it was, a night of enjoyment. But
don't you think Harold gave us our marching orders from the grave?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he gave it to us.
I wish he would come back and give more people marching orders now, this generation.
But we have to give it to him, Zakiya.
But this is what I'd like to say, Alderman, and I want black people to really look at what Senator Mark Kirk and Senator Dick Durbin have supposed to do to young black youth. another night he said he stole a lock, 89,000 of them up at one time, charge him with gangbanging, drug dealing, and killing people.
Well, I got to go read that. We ought to discuss that. What was that at?
Well, this was night before last on TV. It was last night on TV.
He literally said he's going to lock up 89,000 youth?
Listen to me, sister. 89,000 at one time.
Whoa.
Charge them with drug dealing, killing people, and gangbanging, and house them in that new state-of-the-art prison downstate called the Thompson
Prison. Now, what
did
you see that? What station? I'm going to go look it up.
All of the stations. I think I saw it on 7 and 5. Now,
okay.
Listen. All our children look alike to those white racist police. So, parents, talk to your boys. Tell them what's getting ready to go down.
Right.
Because they're going to lock up the good and the ugly along with the bad. So just be aware because it's getting hot. And Mark Kirk have not had no change of heart. He was a devil at the beginning. He's a devil now.
Thank you so much. I'm going to have to look at that. We got to look back into that some more. This is how I feel about our children. I'm going to play this song by, I think they're young, they're gifted, and they're black. That's what I think. And that's what we got to tell them. And if this is not Nina Simone, I'm going to let this black man tell them that they're young, they're gifted, and they're black. Donna Hathaway, they're young, they're gifted, they're black, and you drive down all these imagery, it don't make no sense. We got to stand tall. We got to not only tell our young they're young, gifted, and black, we got to tell our people that we can stand tall and do what we got to do here. We got to stop doing mental, Bobby Rice and mental sounds. This is Donna Hathaway.
And black. Oh, what a lovely, precious dream. To be young, gifted, and black. Cause you know in this
That's a fact. You have to be young, gifted, and black. That's what we tell them, y'all. To be young, gifted, and black. You can do it. We did it before. We don't have to take this, y'all. Let's not take it no more, y'all. We're not talking all this stuff. We're talking about how can we move forward. Okay, that's what it is, y'all.
We must begin to tell our young.
Hey, Donna Hathaway, y'all. I tell you, you got to tell them. I don't want all that negative stuff. Thomas from LaGrange, are you young, gifted, and black?
Hey, Tom. What's up, Dorothy?
Is that what we're supposed to tell our young?
I want to tell you, my granddaughter, Sierra, the kids in the school
are doing
a thing called white love.
White love?
White love. The black girls.
So are you white, LaGrange, Thomas, from LaGrange?
Yes, ma'am.
And your kids doing White Low. What is White Low?
White Low is the teenage girls go and find a white boy instead of the black boy.
Oh, white love. Don't mess with no black boys, huh?
No, because they say that the white boys take them to the show and spend money on
them. Well, maybe because you got the money based off of all the stuff you're taking from us. Thank you so much. Maceo, young, gifted, and black.
Yes, good morning, Alderman Tillman.
You hear that, White Low?
Yeah.
Good morning. Uh-huh.
It went in one ear and went out the other. But anyway, good morning to your listeners. And Alderman Tillman, as I approach the Harold Washington Cultural Center on Edward Kennedy Ellington, Duke Ellington's birthday on Monday, the energy from the Cultural Center, the festivity was just emanating.
Wasn't it great?
Oh, my gosh. And first of all, let me thank Mr. Bruce Harrison. As I was getting ready to pay money for the ticket, he gave me a ticket. And so, but anyway, the children
should let you pay.
Huh?
He should let you pay so it go to the scholarship fund.
I'm gonna give some money.
Just playing with you, Mason. Go on.
But anyway, the children, starting out with the boys' drill team, the girls' dance team, the excerpt from Annie, the young men from the alternative school, it was phenomenal, superlative, exemplary. And I would like to, and then the film footage on Harold, you couldn't have put it any better film footage on there. And let me
it's personal film of mine, don't you?
Huh? Let me commend Jim Alita on the phenomenal job that she does, Josie, everybody, Cliff. I mean, you couldn't have picked a better MC. And on that subject of those billboards that you say you see all around, you know, what we need to do is replace them with historical billboards. And I'm sure you have to pay a fee, but with Paul Robeson on it, Ida B. Wells, and with, Harriet Tubman and Duke Ellington, but with captions, synopsis of who they were. So we can replace those with some historical photos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I missed the last part because Ebony brought me some information in there.
Oh, no, but I said, you know, what you do is get some, you know, those images on those bus shelters that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's terrible. Have you looked at, have you seen that? You know, the thing of it is, they even got, a white woman pregnant, just stuck out with the belly empty.
Mm-hmm.
It looks terrible, man. So my engineer telling me I got to wrap it up.
But replace it with black historical images, Paul Robeson, Paul Lillard.
I like that. Let's talk about it. Let's get us a campaign. And, you know, I like that. I'm going to talk to Mark. I'm going to talk to Mark about that because Mark was down the other night. Thanks, Mason. My engineer telling me I got to wrap it up.
Have a great.
Thank you. Let's talk to Chicago 1690, WVON, our number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Black Planet. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on group Facebook. We on your radio. So wake everybody up because we'll be coming back in about 1 minute or 2 minutes, and we're going to be on the other side of the young, gifted, and black and having a good time. So get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back in a couple of minutes and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Scott Walterman. Israel says it hit a shipment of weapons bound from Syria to the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Here's NBC's Richard Engel in Israel.
NBC News has confirmed that the Israeli airstrike did take place early on Friday. An Israeli official has been quoted as saying that a shipment of sophisticated ground-to-ground long-range missiles was the target.
President Obama wraps his Central American trip today in Costa Rica. He'll make a speech and take questions in San Jose. Following the crash of a U.S. military refueling plane, two bodies of the three crewmen were found in Kazakhstan. The search continues for the third. The plane exploded in midair. No decision yet on what to do at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Choices include renovating or rebuilding the school building where it sits, or building a new school down the street. Another meeting has been set for May 10th. This is NBC News Radio. In California, the wildfire 50 miles northwest of Los Angeles has ballooned to 43 square miles. NBC's Aman Maldin is there.
Overnight, firefighters intensified ground operations. Now, they're trying to keep the fires that have spread to over than 28,000 acres over the past 2 days. And right now, officials say they're at about 20% containment.
4,000 homes are being threatened. Could be history today at the Kentucky Derby. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren is at Churchill Downs.
Rosie Napravnik is a petite redhead with a big goal. In a sport that's dominated by men, she could become the first female to win the Kentucky Derby.
She has told many stories about not being welcome at the track by fellow riders, by trainers, and by owners. So she is absolutely trying to bust through some barriers.
I'm Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
Progressive Insurance presents Flo's newest song. We compare rates to give you confidence.
We compare rates to find you a great deal, so you can be even more confident. Not that you need more confidence. I'm sure you're a great person with great posture, and you probably look really good in corduroy pants, which isn't easy.
Comparing rates to help you save. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security, networking, and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data, all from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
Hi, this is Teresa Deer, host of Let's Get to Work, heard Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 9:30. America is on the road to recovery, bringing new jobs and new opportunities. Join us as we explore ways to help you get the job you want, keep the job you have, and secure the job that's waiting for you. Join us Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 9:30, as we empower, enable, and equip you with the information you need to get the job you want. Let's Get to Work, heard exclusively on the Talk of Chicago, WVON.
On Monday, tune in to Cliff Kelly's 3:30 Focus for an informative conversation with AARP's Associate State Director, Jennifer Creasy, who will discuss the need for the Illinois House of Representatives to pass SB 26. SB 26 is a new Medicaid opportunity for Illinois, and AARP wants you to be informed on why they support it. Tune in this Monday to Cliff Kelly's 3:30 Focus for the details on this important Medicaid expansion opportunity.
Hi, this is Cornell West.
And I'm Tavis Smiley.
And we're pleased to be heard once again in the great city of Chicago.
And better yet, this signal spills over into my home state of Indiana. So I guess we'll have to get Mama a new aerial for her roof in Kokomo.
Oh, that's so nice. We want you to join us for unique conversations and perspectives as we keep the focus on the least of these.
That's Smiley and West today at 11 right here on WVON, the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Another perspective.
Tune in to Another Perspective with Dr. Leon Finney every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WVON and get a fresh new point of view. You can be more connected with Another Perspective.
Another Perspective. Another Perspective. Another Perspective. Another Perspective.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. Want to connect with WVON on all of our social media? We've made it simple. Just text SOCIAL to 88474, and the links will be on your phone in seconds. Standard text message rates apply. Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, you're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun. Let us march on till victory is won.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind, because he's allowed me to go to the mountaintop and look over and see the promised land. You know, Dr. King always talked about the mountaintop experience. If you understood what a mountaintop experience, you will be somewhere else. It is good to have those experiences. He said, but I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. And everybody thought it was pie in the sky. Might not be no pie in the sky when you die. It might be a lie. So he wasn't talking about pie in the sky, heaven on earth, you know. He could not imagine in his mind that we will have economic, education, political improvement in this, for black people, and they not reach back and rebuild communities, because what he had seen all over the world is all over, within this country especially, ethnic group pulling up their own people. So he never thought in his wildest imagination that people would begin to make all this money in sports or on TV or in business or all across in everywhere based off of blackness and would not rebuild the black community. So he saw the promised land, and I still see it. So it is at 7 o'clock hour, and it is time for you to take that deep breath. Wherever you are in the country, in the world, in this city, take a deep breath. If you're driving, sitting down, drinking your tea, it is time, y'all. It is that time. And everywhere I go, y'all walk up on me and say this to me. Take that deep breath. Courtney, Ebony, and I have my little grandbaby in the studio, Ibune Beje. Take a deep breath. Black. Inhale. Black. Why do you say that, Dorothy Tim? Why you feel the need to say it? It's because black folks are afraid to say black. Minority, anything but black. They can say everything, but they're scared to say black because they think if they say black, something is going to happen to them. We're back. We're back, y'all. You can't say black. Say black, y'all. Hey, y'all. You're listening to Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591. 1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We are on Facebook. We are on group Facebook, Black Planet. We are on Twitter. And guess what? iHeartRadio. So I know you're listening to us wherever you're listening. And I got a lot of folks. My chat room is really, 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 y'all talking in the chat room. Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to me again. Just search Dorothy Tillman Coffee Tea or go on Jimmy Lee Underground. Now you can listen to me on my blog talk. And I know y'all are chatting here this morning because black folks have got to understand why everybody wants to talk about, oh, the black-on-black crime is just killing you. Hey, come on, y'all. You don't hear the folks. The Mexicans bringing them drugs. They're controlling our community with the drugs right now. And you got other folks that's controlling it. The drugs, and they're killing up each other too, but they do not talk about themselves every day like that to make their children think they're nothing but drug dealers and nothing but this. Imagery is everything. Ride down King Drive, see all them white imageries. Imageries is everything. That's why it was important to put Harold Washington on that corner with that statue. We have got to begin to tell our young, as Donna Hathaway said, they're young, they're gifted, and they're black. And we have to have money with a purpose. We got to confront these people, let them know you got to be like S.B. Fuller and John Johnson and Madam C.J. Walker. And our children can think. It's been an educational nightmare to our children. They've been set up to fail the schools, and they're still being set up to fail. And there's an economic war, an educational war, a political war, and a violence war in our community. So we got to stand up and not be afraid. We can't be afraid. We cannot be afraid. I'm going to go back to the phone, and I'm going to try to play some music in between. Pam, how you doing?
Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
I'm fine.
I wish you were on every day of the week. I know you said you don't want to be, but we need your spirit and your words during the morning or sometime during the day. Thank you. Alderman Tillman.
Hey, I'm like fine wine, Pam. You got to get up on Saturday morning to hear me and my wine will take you through the week.
I'm up. let me start and say black. And I also told Ebony what you should do with that. And I want to also add, Alderman Tillman, I love black people and ain't no buts about it.
Come
and the
on
reason
in.
I say that,
mm-hmm.
too many times we'll say, oh, I love my people, but mm-hmm. this, but that. I don't have any buts about it. I love black people.
You know what I'm going to play for you, Pam? Dr. King got a sermon, Great But. I'm going to play that one Saturday.
Please do.
It's
please
called
do.
Great But.
And to quote Dr. King, right now, I believe he said, we need to deal with the fierce urgency of now.
Yes.
We cannot let them attack our young people and our children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're doing it through the educational system. And let me just say, we need to control the minds of our young people. Alderman Tillman, lift every voice and sing.
Mm-hmm.
That should be mandatory to be sung in preschool, talk to our preschoolers, and talk to our young people throughout pre-K to 8th grade.
Well, you know, Pam, when I was going to school and when you had the majority of black teachers in school, that was played at every assembly. And
yes.
we were done. There were certain things that was done. Now we went from 40-some percent black teachers to 11%. These folks don't even know anything about blackness. All you know, it's sad.
And then lastly, let me say, in terms of education, we have the HBCUs in place. We have to find a way to do more of a concrete connection which took from the HBCUs to the preschools, to the elementary, to the high schools. We have to make a greater connection to let our children know that they're on a path to do something, whether it's a vocation or whether it's to acquire the higher education.
Right.
And then also, we have to make sure we galvanize our young people based on their talent.
That's right.
Why I love what you're doing there. So it's not over. Our young
oh, no, we're going to be all right. Hey, Pam.
We have to fight, and I'm not listening to no negative people talk about what's wrong with black people. We ain't nothing. Our children ain't nothing. That's a lie. And if you repeat a lie enough, you're going to believe
oh,
it.
Oh, yes.
I don't buy
it's like
it
a bad
it.
Song,
no.
isn't it?
Talk to these young people. Get out here and talk to these people on the street.
Okay, Pam, I got
do,
it. Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much. Pam is absolutely correct, y'all. She's absolutely correct, and we have to understand that and know what we're doing. We cannot let those kind of things happen to us. We really can't. We just can't do that. We have to stand up and tell our children that they are great. And everybody's talking about them, knocking them upside the head everywhere. And I mean, nobody talks about economic violence that's going on with our children and our people, period. Thank you for that call. Ken, how you doing?
Good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm all right.
You know, first of all, let me start off by saying I love you, Dorothy, okay?
I love you, too.
Okay, Dorothy, I just want to reiterate something that Shakir said because I witnessed what Mark Kirk was saying. He did say that he want to lock up, well, he gave a number for a certain gang, and he said he want to lock every last one of them up, and he want to get with a federal prosecutor, the one that was responsible
Ebony
for
it. Ebony pulled it down for me, and it didn't say $180,000. The amount they said is terrible. He said he want to put all the gangster disciples in jail, but he didn't say anything about putting the folks who bring the drugs in this country in jail. He didn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
So he didn't say $180,000. No. I just got it. He said that, and Ebony just pulled it down for me. But regardless how many it is,
yeah.
we can't have them saying that.
Yeah, but Dorothy, let me just say this here: they got a group called Correctional Corp of America. And they have agreed to come into Illinois, providing that they can be guaranteed that their prisons can be filled to 90% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think those bodies coming from?
It's coming from the black community. But I'm saying people tell us up front what they're going to do. But when you have someone constantly, okay, it's like the public housing. What they did is for a whole few years, when Harold said, I'm not closing them. We're going to build them back up. We're going to get deferred maintenance. When
right.
Harold said that, then Harold was fighting to keep them. Then you had Daly to come in.
Right.
When Daly was in, black folks, tear down the public houses.
Yeah.
Tear down this. Didn't understand what it was all about. And when you have black folks having verbal abuse to black people, then it is easy. It is real easy to then go do these things to our people. Jail is a business. They're on the stock market. Now, we shouldn't take this.
That's right.
Okay, thank you so much, Ken.
Okay, bye.
Jail is a business. We shouldn't take this. It wasn't 18. It wasn't 180,000. Y'all need to go read it. I did pull it down, but regardless, it's still not good. It is not good. Reverend Weatherspoon, how you doing this morning?
God bless you, daughter.
Bless you too, my brother.
Black.
All the way from the west side to the south side to down south.
We're gonna take this serious, daughter. We're gonna take this serious.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the young people, you know, young people. We got to continue to push them and motivate them, daughter. Like you're doing a great job with your family, with coordinating out there. You all doing a tremendous job.
Thank you.
Give them opportunity.
Yeah, Corden is a young engineer out here. This is wonderful. That's what I love about Melody. She gives these young folks opportunities, and I predict that Corden is going to go a long way in life. I'm just working on her listening ability.
Yeah, I had told her she's going to be tremendous. She's going to be a force.
Yes, she is.
Reckoning God going to bless her.
Oh, God, yes, she is. She's growing by leaps and bounds. I'm the maid of my daughter. Thank you so much, Reverend Weatherspoon. Thank you. Oh, wait. Sister D from the west side.
Sister Dorothy.
Sister D.
God is still on the throne.
On the throne, on the throne, on the throne, and walking the earth through you and me.
He is, and it makes me feel so good. You know what else makes me feel good, Sister Dorothy, to hear your voice? Sister, I'm not going to be long. I just wish reparations would start. I enjoyed getting out there on that reparation.
We got to fight for repairing the damage. We got to lead our family and our people into understanding it, too.
Yeah, well, families, you know, we got to work on keeping them together. Families break up so fast.
Well, you know, you are my family and everybody on my block. When I see those children out there, I talk to them. We got to look at how we define family. For a long time, these Europeans couldn't penetrate us. But then they got into us, and they said, so that's how they make it. It was unheard of that next door, that was my little brother. You know, my uncles, them uncles and granddaddies and all, with cousins and all this, these folks broke down the structure. Our structure is much more than just a man and a woman in the house.
They killed the spirits.
Well, they were there trying to kill it. A man can't ride your back if it's not bent.
They tried to destroy a lot of spirits in us.
But the spirit is not all gone. We got to resurrect it and make it be higher. We got to lift it higher.
I know it. But here's why I called. I respect you, and I think that your blessings, you receive enough blessings, and you are good enough to share. You share your blessings, and I appreciate that. Your blessings is enough to go around.
Thank you so much.
And stay around.
Thank you so much, Sister D.
All right, bye.
Thank you. God have allowed me to be around some great people. God allowed me to be around folks who wasn't cowards. There was, I'm going to play Charles Bevel in a minute for y'all. God have allowed me to not be cowards. I grew up around people like Ms. Rosie Parks and all those women at the MIA office, who Johnny Carr, Hazel Gregory, my grandmother, my pastor, my father, you know, Dr. King, James Orange, James Bevel, Diane Nash, all of these people who taught us not to be afraid but to fight. And that's why my hat's off to those students at Lindblom who stood up, and those students down south and Lowndes County who's standing up. It's going to take the, you know, folks say, well, y'all won't pass the torch. Then nobody's supposed to pass nothing to you. My grandmother didn't pass the torch to me. I got out there and fought, and she joined me. Young people are warriors, and black folks, and young people are warriors, and old folks are counselors. Hey, we have to fight back, but we got to give them that. Remember J. Edgar Hoover said, never again, if you read it, Freedom of Information, would he ever allow the young people to rise up like they did before. He said, Dr. Kingham used young people in the movement, and they'll never let it happen again. And that's why they try to build these prisons, and that's why you have people every day talking about them like a dog. You talk about the exact same people that you're making money off the backs of. So, you know, you can't be cowards. If you see a coward, you'll see a slave, like Charles Bevel said. Miss Courtney is over there. If you see us, you know what? I'm going to play this, y'all. For all of you who are going to be strong, y'all stay on the line. I'm coming back to you, but I got to play this song because we can be strong, y'all. We can be strong. He said, well, you see cowards, you see slaves. Harold Washington wasn't no coward. What did Harold Washington say? To be black don't mean that you hate anybody else. He also said, if we don't stick together, we're going to fall like a house of cards. Come on, y'all, across this country. We can do something. Imagery is everything. Come on, y'all. Your mind is what it is. Your mind together, you together. Hey, Charles Bell. Come on, y'all. Wake him up, y'all. Wake him up. Charles Belva. Woo! Trying to find a voice. Come on, Charles Belva. That's James Belva, little brother.
What I see really troubles me. Not many people really want to be.
Because if you want to be free, you set up and fight. You don't talk. Cowards talk about people. Profile and courage. Stand up.
Lord, 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 not enough. I heard a voice
speak to me. Come over here to the land of the free. Land of the free in the home of the brave. I see cowards and I smell a slave. Where there's cowards, gonna be slaves.
But I see really trouble me. Not many people.
But the ones who want to be, we got to join hands and liberate the other ones. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Lord, 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 Lord,
Lord. Lord, Lord.
You take a gun, take a gun and make me. It's like trying to start a love affair by kicking me. Doing what you do while saying what you ought to.
Come on, y'all.
Watch your face and hold what I see really troubles me. Not many people really want to be free.
Come on, y'all. Tell me about it. You want to be free? Call me, y'all. Call me. 773-591-1690. Come back to the phone in a minute. Come on. Oh, Lord, Lord. Hey, y'all. My blog talk. My, hey, y'all. Chat room is acting up this morning. Y'all keep talking.
Cover my eyes and think they are blinding me.
Woo!
20 million black children can't even.
Lord have mercy, more than that now.
50 billion black dollars spent for liquor, wine, and
woo! Factories are failing those schools.
But I really trouble me. Not many people really wanna be free. Oh.
Y'all. Spirit of Harold Washington, Martin Luther King Jr., and all them black brothers and sisters. Malcolm X birthday coming up, y'all. Minister Farrakhan birthday coming up. My birthday coming up. Hey, y'all, I'm good leader. My mama's birthday coming up. Hey, 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 down there in Pensacola. I'll be home soon, y'all. I know y'all listen. Woo! Lord, 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 Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Hey, y'all, Lord, Lord, wherever you are in the country and the world listening, y'all. Speak to me.
Come over here.
Hey.
Land of free and the home for the brave. But I see cowards and I smell the.
Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. For those of us who want to be, got to join hands together and do what we got to do. We just have to celebrate 30 years anniversary of Harold Washington being inaugurated. But I'm sick and tired of people saying, Harold Washington built a coalition. Harold Washington didn't build no coalition. The people built the coalition. And out of the coalition, we selected a candidate. Ask Lou Palmer, ask George, ask Slim Coleman. Ask Rudy Lozano, who was murdered because of that coalition. And that's how Chuy Garcia, Jesus Garcia, got to be. He was a campaign manager. And they murdered. And when they murdered him, we all went on high alert because they murdered him in front of his children. And all our children was traumatized. Evan and all of them was traumatized. We had to go on high alert because all of us was on the hit list. And they walked in. They asked the boy, I said, can I use the washroom? And Rudy said, yeah. And he let him in, and he murdered him, and he went in the bathroom, came out blazing, shooting. And that's how Chewy got to be the candidate going against Stenberg, Stenberg the gangster over there in 22nd Ward. And as I said Monday night, Gutierrez ought to be shaming himself. He should have been the first one sitting on the front seat. Because we went over and we brought him in. We brought him, you know, we brought him into government, you know. And what we had is Harold Washington did not at all build a coalition. We built a coalition, and we put Harold Washington in it. But we was coalescing around equality and youth in the same. Wasn't nobody else manipulating. We built a coalition around education, political empowerment, and all of those things. And I talked about a little of those things on Monday night in terms of how we got the Deputy Register program going. So people got all this mishistory about what happened with that movement, and that's why they care. You know, that's why they be trying to do something, just like protesting when we, you know, that was our last thing. But we mobilized. We almost knew what we were going to be doing. So what they got us doing is misinformation, miss everything, and then we turn around, and what we do when we turn around is we don't know what we're supposed to be doing here. Harold did not build a coalition. We built the coalition and put Harold in it. Harold had been, he ran in 1977, I think, and he had the Ishmael Flory, who was a non-communist group of them, from High Park, some of them over there who supported Harold. He had the progressive like Tim Black and all of them that supported Harold. And so when we ran, we put together Lakefront Liberals with a lot of blacks over there too. That was with David Orr and all of them. But we put together this coalition and we brought Harold in as we did our plebiscite with George and Lou Palmer and C-West. We built C-Buck and Bippo. And we all, I don't think our white counterparts had any problem with us being black political empowerment. So we had Slim, we had Helen, we had a whole group of other folks, and we had a group of Latinos, because they didn't say Hispanic, because Hispanic is a culture, it is not a race. And it was most of the Mexican community and a few, because you had this disparity and this fight among the Puerto Ricans, because the black Puerto Ricans get discriminated against. Very bad. Very bad. So we built a coalition and brought Harold in it. So I'm telling you, let's build a coalition again and then bring us somebody. Don't say what Harold Washington did. Harold says the plan, not the man, so let's put together the plan. Plano, how you doing this morning?
Hey, man, I'm Solomon, the best Pittman that was ever in Chicago.
Listen
black, black,
you.
Black, 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 black.
Did you come out Monday night?
Yeah, I had to work Monday night, but I heard good reviews on it. I heard it was excellent.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I heard it was very excellent.
Thanks, thank VON for the role that they played in it being a success.
Yes, Tim, I just want to thank you. I say this again, one of the callers early. I listen to people on the morning on VON, but their conversation is not explosive like yours talking about black issues. It's morning show is good, but they try to wind it down bits and pieces. We need not to be afraid. Stop being a coward.
Oh my
the mayor,
God.
Ronnie Mayor, you got all these people cowards. Man, they had all these people cowards.
They're back on the plantation. Back on the plantation.
It's back what you just said. I want to be free.
Yeah.
And we can't be free.
Hey, cover our eyes. Hey, they cover our eyes and think they're blind enough.
Yes, they are. It's the same thing with that Walter Payton and Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
That man, all the men have to step in on all these issues. Why do you have to step in?
At least he stepped. What the sad thing about it is those parents did not, they thought they was better than the kids out on 100 and something. You got this caste system going on. Our name, Walter That's Payton right. from Mississippi. The name itself, Payton out of Mississippi. You know, I'm sure Mississippi was worse than Roseland. Okay.
One more question before I go. What happened to the song when I remember I was going to school, Young, Gifted and Black? I used to love.
I played it this morning. What time you start listening?
I just got on.
You done missed it. I played it. I'll play it again next week. I played the Donna Hathaway version this morning. You better wake up. You missed it. Hey, you got his fine wine. You got to drink the whole bottle. You won't feel it. You got to drink the whole bottle. Thanks, Plano. Thank you so much. He won't know what happened to it. I told him I played it this morning. Taylor, how you doing?
Fine. Is this Miss Tillman?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing? This is Taylor from Tuscaloosa, and I just wanted to let you know.
Hey, Mr. Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yes, I believe this is my first time calling, too.
Thank you.
I called one day when Bev was on the show, I believe, but
yeah.
Bev know me very well. But I was just calling to make a quick comment. Did you know J. Edgar Hoover was what they call in Africa an Ibiku baby?
He had some black in him, didn't he?
No, not that. What an Ibiku baby is a baby whose birth followed the death of a child.
Whoa, but didn't he have a little black in him, somebody said?
Now, I may have heard that, but the point that I'm trying to make here is by him being an Ibiku baby,
I
believe that organization is built on that. When your birth follows the death of a child,
yeah.
a lot of prenatal life goes into your thinking. And the Children's Defense Fund director said, our kids are being prepared in prenatal for prison. And Dr. Alvin Poussant also said, we have got to go into this area to get an understanding of what's going on with
that it. Makes sense, you know. I might try to find Poussant. That makes so much sense.
And let me finish my point here. My point is this. Right now, what I'm hearing, Ms. Tillman, the civil rights leaders are desperate. They are desperate. And this coming August 28th, after the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, there is going to be some realizations of something that is about to take place, and I believe these activists can feel it. They are desperate, and I don't know what is likely to happen after the 28th.
Well, you know what's going to happen? The young people are going to rise up. You can't hold them for so long.
I don't think so. What I think is getting ready to happen is they're going to have to go back and re-embrace the church that they used in the movement, and if they don't, a lot of them who are practicing nonviolent civil disobedience are going to have to look for a job.
Well, let me ask you this, Reverend Taylor. Yeah. If they're going to go, you got to go to them preachers, them Southern Christian Leadership Conference type preachers, because some of these preachers are on the payroll.
Let me make another point. This ain't going to be popular in Chicago, but I'm going to say it because I'm from Tuscaloosa.
It's all right, baby. Say it.
They told me not to be afraid to be a man. But what you all got to embrace is this. Nonviolent civil disobedience was not the best method to get rights in America. And you're going to have to go back to 1953 because right now you are in a 1953 to 1968 time warp.
Well,
I heard the president of American Baptist College on the radio this past week, television this past week, and he was so out of touch until it was just amazing. They are desperate. They like a drowning man or woman. They
well,
are
I tell you
desperate.
What, I don't think nonviolent civil disobedience was bad because I was part of it.
It was
changed
not
stuff.
The best.
I think that it was
not the best method to get rights in America. And
I think what happened, Mr. Taylor from Tuscaloosa, and I work with a lot of folks from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in the civil rights movement. What happened is those who reaped the benefits did not give back, and they did not come back and rebuild those communities. And some of the ones who criticized our movement are some of the same ones who are utilizing all of the rights that we got for them. They stay in all the hotels. They go and use all the bathrooms. They go do everything. So I think that what happened is those who reaped the benefits did not give back. They ran away from us, and that's what made the difference. Thank you, Mr. Taylor. That's what made the difference, is that those who reaped the benefits did not. Dana Devine.
Yes.
You want 1 minute to talk about this walk, the Breast Castle Stroll this morning in Hyde Park?
Yes, I would. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You're on the air.
I love your show, Alderman Tillman.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
I listen every Saturday, and I'm just honored to have a chance to talk. Yes, I am up and getting going. We're about to do a stroll down the boulevard, Drexel Boulevard, 51st to 39th. In honor of, really, breast cancer. We don't want to really just say breast cancer awareness. I think that word is really being overused. We are just celebrating breast cancer survivorship, women who are all cancer survivors who are just celebrating life and have found there's a new look to cancer, and I think, you know, that's what we're definitely trying to celebrate. So if your listeners are available, please come out at 9 o'clock, and we will be strolling down Drexel Boulevard. And
from 59th to 39th?
From 51st
to 39th. And you're a breast cancer survivor, too.
I am a 3-year breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So I, too, feel like there is a new look to breast cancer, and early detection really is the way we can all look at breast cancer. You know, if you get to the doctor in time, you really don't have to die from this disease anymore. And I think that's a message that really just has to, especially in our community, we tend to just play down symptoms. You know, it really only takes 2 months for a symptom to really get out of control for you. And 2 months, 8 weeks goes by very quickly.
Okay.
And we say a lot of things. Oh, I'll do it later, 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 later. But in the case of cancer, you know, later can really make all the difference between living and dying. So
you say from 51st to 39th Street, starting at 9 o'clock this morning, stroll for breast cancer. Now I'm Drexel Boulevard.
Yes. Are you going to join us?
I will see what I can do.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you. I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. A.D., how you doing this morning? A.D.?
Good morning.
Who is A.D.?
Morning, Alderman Phil.
Well, A.D., good morning, A.D.
I just like, I came in a little bit late on the program, so I had wondered if you can comment on, just completed reading a book called From Bullets to the Ballot by Dr. Jacoby Williams, and it speaks about the relationship between the Black Panthers and the coalition grassroots politics as well as activism in the Chicagoland area.
Okay, I'll try to do that. Thank you. Let me just say, one of the problems with the movements that we had in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s is they have been distorted. One thing about Black folks and those of us who were struggling and working, I think all roads led to the liberation of Black people, and folks took different turns and different positions. Like folks would talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, like he and Dr. King was enemies, where in fact, I'm going to put one of my pictures on a picture of them on my website later when I scan it. Dr. King and Honorable Elijah Muhammad met, and we were all friends. We came down different roads understanding the agenda. Malcolm X came down to Selma, and Malcolm X went in the base, and he and Bevel and all of them met, and we talked, and when Malcolm came up and spoke at Brown's Chapel, we knew what Malcolm was going to say when he was talking to these media. He told us what he was going to say. And everybody thought it was a shock. He said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I don't believe in turning another cheek. You better be good to this man. He's peaceful, because if you mess with me, I'm going to take an eye for an eye. And the press went crazy. And they said that he was in opposition of our movement, when in fact we knew just what he was going to do. The Panthers did a lot of great things. That's why they murdered him. They like to talk about the guns all the time, but they don't talk about all the other things that the Panthers did in terms of the breakfast program. And they put the fear from in. See, I think the Panthers did was a little different from what the Panthers are doing now. I don't really know that much about the new Black Panther Party, but I do know that the old Black Panther, they understood neighborhood. They had neighborhood clinics teaching. They began to take up and began to do things, and that's why they killed Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, because if they were just doing some little crazy mess to keep our community confused and organized, I say organized confusion that they have in our community today, they would not have been murdered. I happened to be in California, and I knew Huey Newton. I was out there for a couple of years. So I knew Huey Newton and all of those folks out there, Angela and all of those folks that was very involved. And it was interesting because I got very involved in the movement out in San Francisco, if you ever want to Google that. And see my involvement in the San Francisco movement. And I was carrying out Dr. King's method of nonviolence and what we were doing in our struggle out there. And they were doing what they were doing. But we coalesced because we all knew that it was about the liberation of Black people. So we can come down different roads, but as we come down those different roads, we got to have one thing in mind. We got to first get past this organized confusion that's going on in our community. First, it starts by saying, you're no good, you come from a bad family, you're the reason why you ain't got no job, you're the reason why you in jail. We got all this organized confusion. We got to clear all that up. And that don't mean people shouldn't take responsibility for their actions. And we got an internal, external struggle to deal with. And we have to deal with those internal struggles that we've always had to deal with, because this man put it in us when he brought us here. That's why you need to read Advice Among Masters, not necessarily just Willie Lynch, because this Advice Among Masters is deeper than that. So you see this playing out. But certainly CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, then, don't forget them. They were really, Bob Lucas was in CORE, Congress of Racial Equality. I met Bob Lucas and Georgia Palmer was a member of CORE before she married Lou Palmer. In fact, it was Georgia Palmer who made Lou Palmer not be a conservative. Lou Palmer used to be a conservative. When he married and got up with Georgia taught him the way it should be and about the liberation, and he was able to take the information through your strategy, your information flow. We don't talk about Metcalf. who took a stand because of police brutality. You don't even mention MidCap because they don't let us take time to look at those people who really organized and had us together because they have the organized confusion going on in our community. Rick, how you doing?
Yo, hey, Dorothy.
Hey, Rick.
I'm so glad that you on this air on this Saturday because you like a fresh air, like Soprano said when you come up on this show.
Thank
you. I'm so glad that you uplifting young people.
Thank you.
What people don't realize that the young need the old and the old need the young.
Yes, we're one.
So what we got to do is start lifting up each other. And these old people need to go out and talk to these young people. Look, God don't want no cowards in his kingdom.
That's right.
So all that talking and smack about who doing this and who doing that ain't nothing. If you ain't going after talking and trying to do your work, you ain't all about nothing. You might as well sit down.
You know what I found, Rick, is that I talk to the youth, and like, we got off the street on the stage. We got them young folks. You'll be surprised how they come in and pull their pants, straighten their hats, and they got something to do. When I'm talking to, yes, ma'am, Ms. Tillman, they never disrespected me. If I can walk around, they'd be cursing. They'll stop. I mean, whatever side of town I go on. I think that what happened, that was that organized confusion when they started talking about old school, new school, and then we talk about, give me the old school, give me the new school. Ain't no old school.
That's because you bring something new to them. You bring something positive.
But I'm saying they made us. But there
stuff.
Are people who organize this to make us think. Them old folks got to go. The young folks ain't no more. But we going to be all right. In fact, Rick, I'm going to play this song by Hamilton for you. So you listen to it. I'm going to play it for you because he's a great man. And I think he wrote this song. And you keep listening, my brother, and keep being, let's work on the young, gifted, and black. This song going to come up for you. I'm going to have it ready in 1 minute. After I talk to Mama D real quick, then I got a song for you. I got a song after the Hamilton for you. Yeah.
Good morning. You know, as a Crimes Against Humanity descendant and survivor of unjust laws of segregation, Jim Crow, genocide, I was just thrilled to see the children's campaign and see the role that Reverend Bevel played when Dr. King was about to abandon the movement. He said, we got plenty foot soldiers. We got the children.
Well, but before Dr. King, wait. Some folks say that. I don't know where you got that kind of stuff from. What happened was the children was always deeply involved in that movement, even when Dr. King was made chairman of the M to lead the Montgomery bus boycott. We were involved in the movement when he was in Birmingham. But somehow or another, somebody wrote that. And it wasn't that Dr. King was going to abandon the movement. Dr. King, after the Birmingham was going on, and there was a discussion about the next move, and Bevel believed that we had, because remember, Dr. King was a Republican, so was Bevel and all of them. And Kennedy had wrote, they had went together and said, we're going to stop this and do this, but they really didn't put no meat in the teeth what had happened in Birmingham. And that was kind of a discussion going on because Mrs. King had been there, Andy Young, wife of Jean, had gone up there and talked to the Kennedy brothers, and they were really playing games. So he was really a little uneasy, and Bevel came to Montgomery, and he said, I want to work on the voter right. And he and Diane came to Montgomery, and they got all of us. And that's how we began to move toward Declaration of Freedom. And I'm going to let me just say this, and then I'm going to let you talk. The reason we had the Selma movement, and most folks don't know that, we were at the MIA office, and we were trying, we had been demonstrating and doing all these things, going to jail, doing all of this, and we were going to decide what our next move to be, to take what Bevel had said in Birmingham to move it to the next level. And Stokely and all of them had been down there. Stokely was already in Selma, we was demonstrating on Dexter Avenue, and we were at the MIA office, and Diane had a cold that day. I remember her nose being so red. She went in the bathroom to blow her nose. We had been in the MIA office for a couple of days, Montgomery Improvement Office, to decide what we were going to do. And I was a youth leader because they always had youth leading this movement. And when Diane came out, she said, I know we should present Wallace with a Declaration of Freedom. So then we started working on the Declaration of Freedom, and Clark said no more than two niggers can be in on the street after dark, and that's when we decided to go to Selma because Bevel said we're going to take a bunch of niggers, and that's when he took all the students down there.
Let me backtrack. What I'm referring to is the fear factor. that we're dealing with today.
Okay.
And the young people that came down to the Board of Education, they did exactly what the young people did when they went into those Woolworths.
I was proud of them.
And sat down
and
took charge. And Medgar Evers, of June 12th, the 50th anniversary of his assassination is coming up. Medgar Evers was very disturbed by the fact that the young people were taking such bold action because he was concerned for their safety. But I'm saying, you know, the word says, if you won't praise me, the rocks will cry.
The rocks will cry.
And
sure
what
will.
Happened is the parents had legitimate concerns because they knew if they took a stand when Dr. King went back home, it was their job, it was their life, it was their livelihood on display if they took a stand against anything. So because of the caution that the parents had, when those children started walking out of those schools by the hundreds and by the thousands, and they had to lock them up in hog pens and cow pastures and stuff because they could. That's when mothers started, hey, you got my child. They
We're going to talk about that some more. I want to get in details with you about this.
Yes.
That. I mean, because the role of children in the movement, but my parents were there, too.
That's what I'm talking
but
about.
But you're right, and I my hat's off to the Linwood students and also those students down in Alabama. I talked about that earlier. Thank you, Mama D. Hamilton is coming up now. Well, we're going to talk about the students. This is for ain't nobody worried. Somebody got to worry. We got to worry, y'all. When you worry, you come up with a solution. You don't be part of it. Organized chaos.
Ain't nobody praying. When they kneel down low, all they're doing is tying the shoestring. Ain't nobody worrying. No more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn. When their stomach starts to burn, they ain't got food to eat.
Lord have mercy.
How the children gonna learn when they gotta take turns cause they ain't got books to read.
Thank God for the pastor.
When babies turn to cry.
Ooh.
Started getting tired cause the job train's kinda slow. Cause ain't nobody worrying. No more, no more, no more, no more, no more. When the tears start to fall.
That's how the children feel. Hey, y'all, our babies. We got to worry. Y'all, we gotta care. We gotta worry. We gotta care. Oh Lord. Hey.
When the shots fly high and the sirens start to rain.
Hey.
Ain't nobody worrying. When the kids die young and the mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody worrying.
When we worry, we do something about it.
Nobody caring. Nobody caring. The government's on the grind, trying to fix the mess.
When you worry, you care, you come up with something. Pastor's Word, my brother, they came up with the breakfast program and free clinics and some of the other things. This organized chaos in our community coming from all different directions. We got to stop that, y'all. We got to care. And I know it's going to be all right. I know in my heart, hey, we don't have anything to fear but fear itself. We cannot give up hope. It's our future. Don't tell your mind that. Hotep, grandson.
Hey, Hotep, Sister Dorothy.
How you doing?
Hey, our soldier still standing.
All right.
Hey, listen, I did Maceo tell your audience about the new Marcus Garvey documentary they're showing today?
I don't remember.
Well, anyway.
I didn't hear him say anything about it.
If your audience really wants some added inspiration, Shaka Barak and the Marcus Garvey Institute, in conjunction with the Universal Negro Improvement Association, are showing this new film documentary on the Honorable Marcus Garvey today at 12 noon at the Ice Theater on the west side, 3330 West Roosevelt Road. That's
mm-hmm.
in Holman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $10, of course. And, you know, we need to really understand that we had more than one kind of movement.
Right.
And, of course, the Black Power movement of Marcus Garvey in the 1920s, 1900s, on up through the 40s, is a very important part in our history. Then you then get the Civil Rights Movement coming after that. And then, of course, after the Civil Rights Movement, you had Cultural Revolution of Malcolm X's Organization of Afro-American Unity, the US Organization of Karinga, the Black Panther Party, SNCC.
I said that in the black community, we all worked on behalf of the liberation of black people. But somehow or another now, people have tried to keep this division, like, you know, and it's organized chaos. We all move toward the direction of black people, and that's what we got to go back to.
I agree. Now, two books that I would ask your audience to consider getting to really give them some perspective on the Garvey movement is this book called Black Power and the Garvey Movement, and the author's name is Vincent. That's his last name, V-I-N-C-E-N-T.
Okay.
And in that book, Sister Dorothy, they talk about the African Blood Brotherhood, which was, you know, an
Garvey, what country? What country was Garvey from?
Jamaica.
Yeah. And Garvey's wife also worked for Madam C.J. Walker. That's one of the reasons the government put on the hit list.
Yeah. Well, Garvey had two wives before it was all over. Amy.
But I just know that his wife that worked with Madam C.J. Walker worked with his wife, and she worked for Madam C.J. Walker. Also, Madam C.J. Walker worked for had Ida B. Wells work, and she worked with her on the anti-lynching.
Right.
And that was money with a purpose.
Now,
see, that's why I talk about money with a purpose. People have money, use the purpose.
I agree. And that's why this documentary is so important for people to see.
At 12
o'clock. Because back then, Garvey had the African Communities League, and they had all kind of businesses and economics and all of that. And so we need to see what we've done before.
Come on. 12 o'clock at the Ice Theater on Roosevelt.
Yeah, on Roosevelt. That's the black-owned one. The one on 87th is no longer black-owned.
You mean Mark Starks, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's $10, 12 o'clock, Ice Theater, Roosevelt Road.
They're going to have a panel discussion after the movie. So
okay.
I'm hoping Sister Pam will come because she's out that way.
Well, she's listening. She's probably going to come with a whole bunch of more coming.
Yeah, I hope so. Now, the other book, very quickly, is by the former Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture. It's called From Black Power Back to Pan-Africanism. And I end with this quote from Garvey.
Yeah, because I got to
go. He said that the only argument that satisfies man is power, physical, financial, and scientific. Y'all keep on pushing now.
Thank you now.
Right on.
Power, because he's the one without a demand. I think we have someone in the Derby today. I couldn't. That's going to be riding that Derby today. When black folks get in, black folks take over. Kevin something. I can't read it there. But Kevin Krieger. His name Krieger, he's riding today. Let's see what happens. This has been, how much time I got over there, Courtney? I got 4 minutes. Oh, God. I can't get no 1 minute. Is it because I'm black, huh? Because I want to. Okay. All right. I got to play this. Now, that Sister Kia called up here and said that was 18,000. 180,000, but it's 18,000. How many have been in it? It was wrong numbers, but how many is too many? You know, people making money off of us all kind of ways. Is it because I'm black? Is that why our schools and all of our stuff and our black folks are messed up? Is it because I'm black?
Oh, oh.
Hey, hope y'all. Hope. Fear none but fear yourself, y'all. Fear Johnson, y'all.
That rocks my soul.
Fear listens every Saturday, too. That's part of my theme. It's because I'm black.
Back over my
some of y'all just woke up. I hope I can get to you. I don't think so.
Wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me. What can I do?
It's because I'm black. It's because I'm black. I tell you, Amy, 30 seconds. It's because I'm black. I got to go. 30 seconds, Amy. You just must have just woke up.
No, I didn't. I've been listening all morning. Okay. And I think one solution to our problem, to the problem with the children, is that we have so many educational people that live in the neighborhoods that they sit and watch the children outside of their windows. During the summertime,
uh-huh.
If you got retired teachers in 10 to a 4-block radius, open up your backyards and teach these children.
I got you, Sharon. Amy, call me next week because I want to give, that's a good point. Call next week early so we can have a longer discussion. Thank you. Sharon, 15 seconds because I got to go. Sharon?
Oh, hi.
15 seconds, I got
to
go.
People to think about this. They talk about reparations for blacks. They're giving Mexicans reparations.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they get what we deserve? They're getting free everything. They're getting this.
They give everybody come up here reparations. Sharon, let's talk. Call me next week early without my engineers pushing me against the clock.
Yeah, I know you're against the clock, but that's what's really valuable.
I got you.
See that they're being overlooked and they're getting something for nothing.
Call me next week. It's not just it's a whole lot of the. It's about time to go. You can start me. It's a whole lot of people repairing the damage, reparation. When America brings folks over here, it's how most of your foreigners over here, Koreans and all, have gotten reparation, repairing their damage. It's just the black folks don't even understand how to fight for repairing the damage. We're going to do a whole panel on reparation one week. Listen, you've been listening to the Talk of Chicago 69WVON. We've had a wonderful time, coffee, tea, and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. If you want to rehear this broadcast, you can go to Blog Talk on Jimmy Lee Underground Railroad, or just type in coffee tea. You can rehear this broadcast on Blog Talk. We have be back next week, y'all. We're going to talk about you on panel on reparation one weekend. So I'll talk to y'all next week. Dorothy Wright Tillman.
Children from my queen's cut. It's just love. And be loved in return. Sometimes I get a little lonely. And sometimes I get a little blue. The greatest thing is just to love. Be loved in return.